Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Oh, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Tipton.
Okay, just gathering our thoughts. The match about 60 to 90 seconds old. We've got a chance to catch our breaths. Donegal's fourth championship win in 2024. The run continues. Donegal 21 points, Tyrone 14 points. I am delighted to be joined by Kilcar's Mark McHugh, who was with me on commentary. Emlyn Mulligan, former Leitrim footballer, but we're calling him, he's from Greater Donegal, okay? Just down the road. And Noah McHugh from Kilcar, who I have no doubt will make the most sense of all. Mark, 7-point win for Donegal. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, I think we spoke when we were in commentary, Paddy. It's definitely been Donegal's best performance under Jim McGuinness this year. We spoke at halftime about it being a point up. We should have actually been a wee bit further ahead. We've missed a few goal chances, which, as I said, maybe the only thing Jim McGuinness will nitpick, that we haven't scored a goal now in three games, and that might be a wee worry. But other than that, the pace that we broke at, the efficiency that we were getting our scores, and it was really a really, really impressive performance against a good Tyrone team. Don't get it wrong. Tyrone has had a few weeks to prepare for this game. They've had a few weeks rest. And Donegal, you know, pushed him aside pretty easily there in that second half. That third quarter, we spoke about Donegal really put the two to the pedal and tapped on some really, really impressive scores and a lot of impressive performances.
What did you make of it, Emlyn?
Yeah, listen, you have to agree with a lot of what Mark said, like the pace there in the end, the pace and the power, even the likes of McGee there blowing through at the end, Langan there finishing off with a score. Just the running of Kieran Moore, Owen Bangaller, and then Pater Mogan there. Gee, you know, when he got going, his pace is just, it's just outrageous. And the score taken then on the end of it, you know, very few unforced turnovers. And as Mark said, it's definitely the best performance of the year. Just solid throughout. It's very easy to be critical of Tyrone, but Donegal just didn't let them play it. You know, like, you've seen McCurry being taken off there. Like, you know, Canavan didn't really get into the game. But you have to hand that to the likes of Brendan McCall and these lads, you know. So going forward, it's 2 points on the board for Donegal, which is most important. But in terms of performance, very impressive.
Not sure how much you've seen of Donegal live this year, but I know you're eagle-eyed and you're a wonderful analyst now with RTE. What have you met of... Is this your first time seeing Donegal live, and how impressed are you with Donegal?
Well, my first game seeing them live this year was actually in the league. I was doing a bit for RTE when I played for Man in the league. And I suppose just to see the way they've transitioned in terms of the quality for Man and who just struggled to break down up until, I suppose, the end of the second half. That day, I think Darragh Will lobbed the keeper from, you know, it gave them that go-ahead. But just to see the difference in transition there from their pace, their power, they're just the runners coming from everywhere, their fitness levels, you know, that's not done overnight. You know, that's hard work, and now it's just starting to show off, like, you know. And you know, I was at a wedding there back in October, a good mate of mine got married, and there was about 15 of that panel at it, and none of them were drinking that night, you know, on the train the next morning. And a lot of us probably at the wedding were kind of saying, you know, is this the reward they're getting? The power, the pace, the energy. They're just giving their lives for Jim and this county, and you have to hand it off to them. And, you know, big pitches, people may say, and things, they get up to Croke Park. It's only going to suit the running game they have there. And again, listen, they have the likes of Jamie Brennan coming in there, young Doherty coming off the bench. They're starting to build a squad as well. So yeah, listen, it's a good time to be a Donegal supporter again.
I was at a wedding last Saturday and I wasn't drinking either. Hashtag not. Lads, just before you go, Mark McHugh, I know you're in great shape yourself when you played, and so was this man Emlyn Mulligan. You surely have appreciation for Pater Mogan. 72nd minute, it was like he was the second minute coming through, like Usain Bolt. It was, and he's done that time and time again. You were really impressed with Mogan And anybody else in particular?
Yeah, listen, I don't think you can single out Morgan for the power and the pace there at the end. As you know, Emily even said there was boys going through at the end, Michael Lang and Jason McGee that had put on, but it was just after putting in a huge shift. But
yeah, how good have McGee and Langan been for us?
Yeah, you know, we spoke, like, Jason McGee kicked 2 points from play today, and we spoke after he got the point, first point for Donegal. He's turned into one of the best midfielders in Ireland, and you have to start saying that, you know, about these lads. It's amazing, boy. I know it's why we keep saying it. It's amazing what a year's make. We know what Tyrone did to us here last year. Like, it wasn't that long ago. It's not gone in the memory. But it's a completely different feel about it. As I was about Letterkenny today, even, you know, and there's people just, you see so many more jerseys about, young and old. There's grown men just wearing jerseys now, and they're supporting this team. And that team deserves support, because as even Emlyn says, that doesn't happen overnight. What they did today doesn't happen overnight. It happens back in your October, November, when they're in the gym, when they're in the over in convoy, and wet and cold nights. And listen, you know, both of us would probably have done them nights, and we hated them. And not to say that team doesn't hate it, but they bought into what Jim McGuinness, and whatever he's asked of them, they've done. We're getting boys back. We're not losing. As I said, a massive thing today is we haven't lost anybody through an injury or a suspension, which is big in these group stages now. So we go down to Cork with, you know, obviously with a bit of confidence after one in Ulster and beating Tyrone, but that's going to be a tricky encounter. It's the length of the country, and it's not going to be easy.
It's the definition of a banana skin, because I know I hate the cliche Cork. Yeah. They're like the French rugby team. They can be very good. They can be very poor. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount in the middle. It's away. It's a Saturday. Probably have to travel down Friday.
Yeah, listen, it's not easy to travel the length of the country to do anything, not alone play a game of football. But listen, he'll have them right, and they'll go down there fully expecting to win. And, you know, if they won that, that's them probably top of the group then, because the head-to-head will come into it as well if somebody else gets there. So that's when they can go out then and nearly, if they can rest the players then against Clare, because it does come down to head-to-head. So once they have the 4 points on it, I don't think then anybody else can catch them on. No three teams can finish on it, so that'll be a massive game. If we won that, we can rest players against Clare. So yeah, listen, I don't think there'll be a Donegal man, woman or child leaving here tonight disappointed. They'll be buzzing for their team, and they're going to support them, and hopefully, as Emlyn says, we'll get this team to Croke Park, and we'll see what they're made of.
That's your last question, Mark. Emlyn, I'm going to get one more of you. I have to ask, we had Eamon McGee's daughter on a couple of weeks ago, and she made more sense than any of the rest of us on the podcast. We had Noah McHugh today on stats. Noah, first of all, thank you so much for helping us today on commentary. Did you enjoy the game?
Yes.
What was the best bit about the game?
I don't know.
What age are you, Noah?
7.
You're 7. Who's your favourite Donegal footballer?
My uncle.
Who's your uncle now?
Ryan McHugh.
Ryan McHugh's your uncle. And can I ask you a question? Because I asked you before the game. I asked you what foot did you kick with, and what did you tell me?
Both.
Well, there you go. Is your dad stopping off for a little treat or an ice cream on the way home?
Don't have a clue.
We don't have a clue.
Ah, you better, Mark. Mark McHugh, Noah McHugh, lads, thanks so much for joining me here on commentary. And I know, Mark, you're playing in the Comortas next week down in Cork, so nice handy spin for you. Still about probably an hour and a half.
You know what? It's actually brilliant the way it's working. I think our game's not till 7:30 on the Saturday evening, so we're actually going to get, you know, most of the Kilcare boys will get over to watch Cork and Donegal, which is, listen, we probably end up going down anyway to support Uncle Ryan. So, yeah, listen, it's working out well, and we'll have a good weekend next weekend in Cork. And hopefully, as a Kilcare man, we'll do our county proud and hopefully come back with the trophy. We'll do our best anyway.
Good stuff. Don't be coming beeping through our draw now. We'll be out throwing spuds at you, potatoes. Emlyn, last one for you. I know you need to get home, so one more for you, and then we'll bring in Damien Devaney. Just, Emlyn, on Donegal, it's the Donegal GAA podcast, with 80% of our listeners Donegal. Where are Donegal at, do you think? Like, because last year was obviously a mess, particularly off the pitch, I suppose. On the pitch, so many players opting out. We see how impressive they've been so far. Where are Donegal at in the overall standings for you?
Yeah, it's funny, coming into today, before I've seen this performance, I probably thought possibly you're Donegal getting ahead of themselves. I heard people talking about all Ireland and all, and I would have questioned going maybe. I thought at times they didn't look unbelievable against Armagh or Tyrone even in the semi-final, but leaving today, I've just seen a different side to them. I definitely think, as we said, it's their most accomplished performance of the year. I just think throughout the team, in terms of, especially from especially from Kieran Moore up, your 4 or 5 up, they all can play ball, they're all intelligent, they all can run, they all can shoot. They've all the attributes, to compete. But I think for themselves, listen, they've chalked off their Division 2 win, they've chalked off their Ulster Championship win, they've chalked off a home win here against Tyrone. They're going to get into a quarter final, there's no question about that. Get a lucky draw, they're into a semi-final. I'm not saying a lucky draw, but a team that they believe they can beat anybody. I think there's no question about that, and that's obviously been instilled by Jim. But these results will slowly but surely instill that in the team, and I think on their given day, they're well capable of contesting against the best. And we've seen like Dublin there today struggle to put away Roscommon, you know, at times. So like when you break it down, you look at Kerry struggle at times to be clear. So,
are they in second gear, those two sides? Is it?
I that's questionable. It's very easy to say that, but at the same time, you know, I don't think any team goes out, you know, with that mindset of, you know, we'll get over these. And I think like Donegal have the hard work done now, is just putting it into, I suppose, into fruition in terms of performances, and they're getting that. And as you said, that's their best performance. Get over Cork next week, as you mentioned, could be a possible banana skin. But as Mark says, that man, and that man being Jim McGuinness, won't let that happen. I can't see, but. Listen, the world's their oyster. Whether the All-Ireland comes a year too early, if this group stick together, there's a couple of young lads coming in there, as you mentioned there, likes Oran Doherty, the likes of Jimmy Brennan, you know, 100 caps there coming in, same energy as he had from the first day he started. Like, that's what it's all about. When you have a gang like that, a group like that, all fighting for the one cause, it's going to take something special to beat them, and they're not going to lie down without putting up a fight. And I just think the next thing for them is just progressing to get into that quarter final and take it from there and not get ahead of themselves.
Emlyn Mulligan, you're an absolute gentleman, former Leitrim player, and a goddamn good one at that. One of the greatest the county has ever produced. And I know you're on duty today with Adrian Eames for RTE Radio 1 Sport, and you're doing a brilliant job with that, and we really appreciate
Thanks,
it. Thank you.
A pleasure. Look after yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Emlyn. Thanks once again to Emlyn Mulligan, former Leitrim footballer, and of course, former Donegal player. Mark McHugh. I'm now delighted to be joined by Damien Devaney. We mentioned Oisin Gallen, the homeboy. So is this guy Damien Devaney, even though he's managing the greatest club team of all time in Ardra. Damien, we were just talking off air. We're actually looking down here at Michael Murphy. He's doing some work here with GAA Go with Paddy Andrews. And it's like the Oscars here at the moment, if you can hear the jeers. There's hundreds of Donegal supporters surrounding the Gledswally man. It's class to see here, isn't it? What did you make of it, Damien?
Ah, brilliant. I'm just thinking there, Michael will not be home before 12 o'clock tonight with the crowd that's waiting for him there. But I thought that was the best performance of the year. I thought in the first half we probably should have been 4 or 5 points more up. Probably sort of kept them at arm's length then after that, and we seemed to get 4, 5, 6 at one stage ahead, and then they'd get back to 3, and we just looked like we had another gear then to kick on and push on whenever we wanted to, just pace all over the field. Like, the I thought Owen Bann was exceptional today. Absolutely brilliant.
Great to see him getting more minutes. I know he got about 55 against Armagh, but outstanding.
No, he's back to himself there, and he kicked the point in the first half too. Fought Niall O'Donnell at the start of the second half when we were starting to turn the screw. Was very good as well. Really good game. Petter Morgan, I think the Petter kicked 3 points. Just that raw pace is just, I met Peter Canavan on the way up actually. I was working down in his place during the week there, and he was just saying he didn't see that coming, you know, just the pace that Donegal have from all over, like, and even the way in the last minute when we stopped the goal chance on our own goals, the aggression to get up the field, up the field, like it was the first minute of the game, and celebrating every score like it was the first one. Like, it was just exceptional to see, and a really, really good performance.
You actually made a point on the podcast 2 weeks ago or over a week ago, and a lot of coaches were actually texting me saying Devaney was absolutely spot on. You were making the point there's no major over reliance on one or two players. We're seeing different guys popping up every week, because the performance, if we'll admit, probably in the cold light of day after the Armagh game, you know, after the buzz and the high of actually winning the cup, which if you separate that from the performance, probably wasn't incredible. Maybe some guys maybe underperformed that day, and we're saying that after winning Ulster, but like Kieran Moore, I thought, was unreal today. You mentioned Owen.
His pace is unreal. His pace is just off the charts as well. I remember Martin Regan picked him out as a top player maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and he's just got better and better. You put in his pace, again, Owen Bann. I thought McGonigal too was superb, and even, you know, Tyrone at the start of the second half tried something different, but Con Kilpatrick in full forward, and they brought in the lad Joe Goose, is it, from Errigal Kieron, put him in the middle of the field. Con Kilpatrick went in full forward, and McGonigal went in, snuffed him out. They were looking up, they didn't want to kick the ball in, and all of a sudden they had to move Kilpatrick back out the pitch. So they just have, they've men to cover jobs all over the pitch. Like, it's just, it's a really good time to be watching Donegal.
Because if you take your own club man, right, Oisin Gallen, and he's obviously going to be marked, double marked, triple marked, whatever. He comes out then at various stages in the second half. Here, comes out, hugs the sideline. Lads, it's fine, because you've already mentioned them. Patter Morgan, Kieran Moore, Keelan McGonigal, Ryan McHugh and co, Owen Bann, just darting through the middle. So Donegal are actually happy enough for that as well.
Fantastic. And Oisin, one thing I'll say, I think he'd 7 points kicked, and there was a real dirty ball down the side. And
he had no right to win it.
And he came and won it. And then I think he might have had to go off for a wee second because he had to get a bit of treatment at the time. And then we won a free in the far side. He came back on, he went over and kicked that. Like, he's just, every one of them is willing to do the dirty, win the dirty ball, do the hard work. And it's a phenomenal place they're in. Like, it's going to be hard now to calm down the hype now after that performance. And I suppose McGuinness, he was quick to get the players off the pitch there today. I noticed.
Yeah, did you see that? Yeah,
I saw. He was very quick to get the players off the pitch. So they have a big week now. Get ready for Cork, because Cork will be sort of in the long grass and long journey and all that. But you know, I don't think he'll allow any complacency to get in there. You know,
just a word on our two midfielders, Jason McGee and Michael Lang. And I know they're mates. They were probably struggling for game time a couple of months ago through so many injuries that they've had. Okay, and the two of them are absolutely in pristine shape. It's still early days, given the probably unfair nature of our All-Ireland series and Ulster Championships, but if the All-Stars Awards were tomorrow, you know, I mean, McGee is one absolutely. He's just been incredible. I suppose Langan, you said it last week as well. Langan's kind of, and Mark said it on commentary, Langan's kind of almost playing the Roy Keane kind of defensive midfielder now. So, no, you know, he's box to box like Keane, but he's playing probably a different role than what he did, and boy, he's fitting in. And Jason McGee has just been unreal, so he's been mesmerising.
And yeah, the two boys in the midfield, like, we, Patton, I thought you saw the two best goalkeepers in the country today, actually. Patton and Niall in goals, two best goalkeepers at Evering. Like, under the high ball, the two of them were exceptional. But both of them, when they're under pressure, are more than happy to kick the ball long. And we have with Langan and Jason, particularly Jason, you know, you can put it under him. You've McGonigal coming in to win breaking ball. You've Ryan McHugh coming in to win breaking ball. Shane O'Dowd, Darrell Boyle, all them boys will win dirty ball then too. But it just gives you so many options when you know your two midfielders, at the very worst, are going to break even in the middle of the field, you know. And they're two massive men Tyrone have in there.
Who's this man beside you? So we had Mark McHugh's son Noah on, we had Daisy McGee on last week, and what's your name?
Killian.
So you play football for?
Sean McCool's.
What age group?
Under 10s.
What position?
Centre mid.
You play centre mid, good man yourself. And good soccer terminology as well.
That's definitely a FIFA saying, that I would say.
Yeah, I was good at FIFA, I wasn't good at reading football. Killian, can I ask you, who's your favourite Donegal player?
Oisin Gallen.
Oisin Gallen. Why would you have Oisin Gallen? Same club, isn't he? He's the same club. Have you ever met him? You have?
Yeah.
You meet him all the time. Ah, he's a gentleman, isn't he? Do you think Donegal can win the All-Ireland, Killian?
Yeah.
Okay, Killian saying it first. Killian, what class are you in?
Third
class, good man. Good man yourself. And I think all the people here are under 10 on the podcast are just, as I said, they're making way more sense. Michael Murphy has still been absolutely stalked down here. Paddy Andrews won multiple All-Irelands with Dublin, has probably not seen anything like that. So, yeah, listen, I know you need to go, Killian and Damien. I hope your dad's buying you a bag of chips now on the way home, is he? Ah, he is, of course, yeah. He is, of course. Damien, just final word. I suppose we had to when we came into today, we had to park the Ulster, and it was brilliant and everything like that. Okay, as Donegal supporters, all of us, Ulster now is parked over there. This is the All-Ireland series, and there was probably a lot of people worried coming into this one. So it's a brilliant win, but now we can kick on again. Cork's a huge game now next Saturday. If you can win that, you are in a really, really good position, because we know from last year, three of the four teams that made the semi-finals won their pools. The only one was Monaghan Armagh, I think, and our listeners may correct me on that, that didn't win their pool. It's really important. We're in a good position now, Donegal. Avoid a slip-up next week, and you could be in a wonderful position. You don't want to be out 3 weeks in a row if you do make a quarters.
No, as you say, that I think we said it in the podcast during the week, that to get to that area where you're 2 weeks off, looking forward to a quarter final. That's where they're going to want to be. And it looks like the boys are just loving it under back there. Like the connection, we talked about it as well. The connection again is just nuts. Like I'd say it was 8, maybe 10 to 1 supporters wise. So Tyrone obviously don't have that connection at the moment with the supporters and that. But no, Donegal, just it's fanatical at the moment. It's absolutely brilliant to see. It's gonna make it a really enjoyable summer.
Actually, who was your man of the match here? I think Mark said Patter Morgan. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's so much happening.
I would have owned Ban if he had stayed on. Then Oisin kicks 7 points, but no, Petter just that injection of pace all the time, just and kicking scores, and no, Petter Morgan probably would have just shaded it, I would say.
Okay, good man, good man. Killian Devaney, thank you very much. And Damien Devaney. Damien, of course, a wonderful friend of the Donegal GAA podcast. Are you walking distance from here?
Walking distance, just out the Letterkenny Road, aye, so we're handy enough. We'll
are you Stranorler?
Stranorler, aye.
I thought you were Balbuffet, okay.
No, Stranorler, aye, it's very important we get that in.
Oh, it's absolutely, that's absolutely vital. But Oisin Gallen's Balbuffet, he's Sean McCool's, more importantly, he's Donegal for now. Lads, thanks a million for joining me on the podcast.
No bother at all. Paddy, good man.
We're still here in McCool Park, Ballybofey. We're in the centre of the pitch with Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, of course. Donegal, 21 points, Tyrone, 14. What did you make of it, Michael?
It was every bit as convincing as the scoreline suggests, Paddy, but with 5 minutes to go, the PA system was appealing to nobody on the pitch. That was never going to work. I was saying to Tanya Roberts, I was saying it's your last home game. The chances of kids not being on the pitch was slim, but no, that's the boom, that's what it's about. But here it was, second half was awesome from Donegal. They were 2-0 down, and my sort of concern about Donegal coming here today would have been you've had a really fanatical Ulster Championship, probably summed up your own pod, that level of excitement. That was probably a flavour of what the county was like, I would imagine. And could they come with a spark again?
Emotionally, mm-hmm. as much as physically.
Yeah, because, you know, they beat Derry with 6 points, but let's be fair, it was maybe like a 10-point margin. And then they went into two games, Paddy, that they could easily have lost, but they didn't. And that's an amazing thing to have. But do you go to the well another time and it's just not there? And then Tyrone should have beaten Donegal. They were coming here today with some sort of a cause, but for a wee while they sort of had it. They got it back level, and then Oisin Gallen got a point, but they won ahead. And then I actually thought when they put Kirkpatrick to the edge of the square that we're going to take Caelan McGonigal back. I thought that was a decent move from Tyrone, but it didn't work because they were able to bring Owen Bann to like that sweeper role, and it was sort of normal service resumed in that second half. But you know, Mogan went in and did a job on McCurry. The ball hit the goalpost from a fairly routine chance up the field, and he scored, and he was everywhere. And, you know, is there a more potent player in the country at the minute? I'd like to see him, because he's playing some stuff.
Yeah. What did you think at half-time? Donegal 10, Tyrone 9. Tyrone had a couple of wides in that first half. Both sides, of course, good goal opportunities. Kieran Thompson, if he'd scored that, it would have been... what a move that would have been. But equally, Canavan probably had a chance himself. Now, some were saying it was a half a chance. We'd probably need to see that one back.
As I said during the week to Oisin, I was doing a piece with him for his show, and I was saying, like, if you get through the middle of Donegal, you have to make it count. And then, you're right, it probably wasn't a clear chance, but they needed to make it count. Because how many times was McCurry taking shots from tight angles because Donegal wanted them to go there?
Yeah, so, Donegal were congesting that area, yeah, right down the middle between the 21 and 45.
And on Kieran Thompson's goal chance, I think it might have hit the post, okay, but it was all about Niall O'Donnell. He seems to just have so much time. He just seems to have an ocean of time on the ball, and he turned sort of Tyrone inside out over in that corner, and it was obviously a very, very close run thing. At a stage in the first half, he thought Donegal run away with us. He really did. And then Tyrone were back within touching distance. When they forced Patton to go long, Tyrone won quite a few of those kickouts, and then I think they won one off that and scored. I can't remember if it was the one from Farah that put Donegal ahead at half time, but they won one and got ahead. And but what this is going to do for Donegal, Paddy, is they're going to Cork, and you imagine going to Cork without any points, so they're going down the road with momentum. And I've maintained this all week. Top in the group is gold, because the last thing you want is a preliminary game at a time when you don't need another game. Because if you're going to try and win the big prize, Paddy, you need game 2 weeks prep. That's the way it has to be, and one game could actually throw that all off, you know, sink, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I said that a while ago. While we have a small sample size, we've only 1 year to really judge it on, and it is a small sample size. But last year, three of the four teams in the semis won their group, and the other was it the Monaghan that went to penalties, Monaghan Armagh. So that maybe wasn't a brilliant barometer, but definitely some teams found. Tyrone even found it themselves. Tyrone are not that far behind Kerry, say, but they just couldn't show up. They were out 3 weeks in a row. They're supposed to stay at a play for our new listeners, and we have many of them. Donegal play Cork next Saturday, then there's a 2 week break to Clare. Then if Donegal were to win, well, there's to be a 2 week break to the quarter final. I mean, Mark McEwen, you said it a few weeks ago on the podcast, if you have a knock now, it's hard to recover from a week. You physically, and I keep mentioning it, emotionally it's keep hard to go under the well. So if Donegal can get a win in Cork, they're in a pretty good position.
You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly where you want to be, because even from an analysis point of view, when you play a game, the first thing you're looking for is footage of who you're playing against, and, you know, Hanton and Brent McCall, a DVD of who's marking and all that sort of preparation. You know, whereas you've 2 weeks to do that, because the whole difficulty after preparing for 6 months to play Derry, and then turning around for Tyrone, that was the tricky part. You know, so now you've got the 2 weeks, but it's an unbelievable situation to be in. And just before it goes out of my head, just when I remembered, I think it was great to see Fergal Logan here tonight. Obviously the man, he was sitting up in the stand beside us over there, and just, he's obviously given us so much to Tyrone, and he's had a tough time, and I think it's just great to see him back out. And I think the GAA community across the world would just like to see that, and fair play to him, and all the best of his recovery.
Yeah, listen, health's always first and foremost, and met him a couple of times, top guy, and a brilliant GAA man, there's absolutely no doubt about that. So say all of us, and thanks for mentioning that, Michael. So I'll just leave it at this. We felt, and Donegal Ulster, you win Ulster, it's amazing. Donegal probably weren't perfect in the one Ulster. So some parts of the performances, like when you move away from the buzz of actually winning it, we felt, us from, as Donegal people, today was probably the most controlled / polished performance from Donegal so far in 2024.
It's probably a fair enough assessment. The Derry game was sort of like standalone, because it was all about the goals, and it was a hustle,
Yeah, that was probably a better win, but this was more polished, if that makes sense.
And before I go on to it, the two games, I just keep rapping on about, if you win a game where you have to dig it out of the fire, it's what that does for a camp is amazing. And that happened twice. As you say, Paddy, they came here today and it was polished. There's such a range of scores, like Michael Langan kicked one at the very end. So that's a great situation to be in, and I'll tell you something, there won't be many teams wanting to play Donegal in that All-Ireland quarter-final.
How far can Donegal go?
I still maintain the Dubs are the favourites, probably just the fact of the sheer panel they have. It's something I just can't get out of my head. But I do not, if you asked Desi Farrell for an honest answer, I don't think he would enjoy playing that Donegal team, because they've just got everything about them. They're going very, very well, and obviously Jim's steering the thing in the right direction. But, you know, you've got like a good bit of Paddy McBrady today, you know, breaking off that loop. He took a point and the crowd roar went up after he got it, and, you know, Owen Doherty come on and scored a point coming off the bench. You know, I thought Patton was immense. A couple of flicks away, dangerous ball in around the goal mouth. He was composed on the ball. He's probably something that doesn't get the credit for it. Like, he was patient on the ball as anybody. But they are contenders for All-Ireland. They are.
But go out of that.
They are, because who's going to want to play them? But, you know, it only really starts now when it starts to thicken up. But I'll leave you on this one. The All-Ireland's about keeping your panel available. Like, bar Conor O'Donnell, nobody seems to know how far away he is.
You know, and Keelan McColgan, who's been in and out.
Yeah, Keelan McColgan, and I suppose, you know, the likes of Hugh McFadden. But they've got the majority of the people that they need, and it's about keeping them fit, because that's what the All Ireland winners will do. But it's just, I don't know how you try and put a lid on the excitement, because I think the Donegal thing is, it's a summer to be enjoyed, but obviously the camp have to keep it within the camp. That's just the key. But if they can come up the road from Cork and find themselves in that 2 week cycle, they're in a brilliant, brilliant position. Still feel Dublin are the favourites. Maybe that's just an easy thing to say, maybe, but I just feel they are. Like, they went, like, Louth did really well against them, did so much right, but Dublin, did they score 119?
Yeah.
You know, scored 119 in a day that apparently they didn't play well, so... But
still second, third gear, probably.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly, yeah. So, and, you know, it's going to leave it a more interesting All-Ireland series, and probably for us in Ulster here, you know, you've got likes of Derry, Donegal, Tyrone, you know, we'll see what Armagh and the Derry game next week to see who comes out of it, but we always like the parochial thing. We like to see how many contenders have we got inside the nine counties that could go down and give the thing a shake, but the boys that have left on the bus to go to convoy there, that Donegal group, they're definitely in there.
Finally, any concerns in Derry? Second defeat in a row. I felt I actually had a wedding last Saturday, so pretty much missed the game in real time. Talking to a number of Derry people, don't seem overly concerned. Like, the sending off changed the game, and that can happen.
It did change the game. I watched it back. I actually thought Derry played quite well for most of it. The goal changed a lot in terms of you needed 15 men to go at Galway. And then the other thing was that the goal that came after half-time was another bad kick as well. Mm. And then the worrying thing is it's just the injuries, because we're digging into players who don't have championship experience. You know, if you look at Donegal last year, they're missing half a dozen players versus now, you can see the difference. So that's the difficult side of Derry's thing at the moment. So it probably leaves the Armagh game as a must-win game. But definitely it was a long way home from Galway, I'll not lie. But he's probably trying to still be positive about it. But as I say, you don't go if they can keep everybody fit, they're contenders. Derry are on the other side of that now. How many of those boys can get back on the pitch? And that's what it comes down to.
Michael McMullen, thank you so much. As always, you're a great friend of the podcast. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No more. Thanks, Paddy.
Well, they always say you leave the best to last. In my opinion, the greatest ever Donegal footballer, Michael Murphy from the Glenswilly Club, of course, All Ireland, captain with Donegal back in 2012. Michael, how do you reflect on that 72, 73 minutes?
That was lovely. It was great to watch, being honest. Like, there was no other way of describing it. There was a narrative building up throughout the week, kind of about maybe, you know, Tyrone coming down and, you know, having enough to beat Donegal, and they took Donegal to the nth degree in the Ulster game, and there's big rooms for improvement. I kind of thought the complete opposite myself. I thought the lads would have been absolutely brimming with confidence after the Ulster one, you know, going doing it the hard way. I thought they would have been brimming. And just for that 70th odd minutes, they were brilliant. Like 10-9 at half time, they were only a point up. Wee bit of worry maybe that they didn't take their chances. They had a couple of goal chances, three or four goal chances to the credit. And I thought maybe they might have maybe come to rue them. But just that second half performance, that moving quarter after half time, they went 6-2 for that quarter. And like that was a 4-point swing that they never looked like relinquishing. 11-5 totally in the second half, and it was just brilliant. It's great to see, and just threats coming up from everywhere, you know, from Pater Morgan coming up, Brennan McCall was popping up in places, two lads in Littlefield, Jason and Michael Langan, have become so consistent, you know. Killam McGonigal, centre backs are rock. And just lads popping up, Rushin Gallen, Paddy, just you go for Kieran Thompson, like you can keep chipping away at these lads. Owen Doherty coming in with his customary outside of the bidder. So it was just really, really good. Like,
you're not Captain Hindsight, because we had a quick discussion about an hour and a half before the game, and you weren't actually concerned. That so a lot of the national commentary me over the past 2 weeks, Donegal came through, and it is a fact, a really hard, arduous Ulster campaign, and the feeling was there might be mental fatigue emotionally, but you actually said to me literally 90 minutes before the game you weren't in any way concerned Donegal emotionally would struggle to get up for this.
No, I thought if anything they would be buzzing. I always remember coming off the back of Ulster ones when you won, there was so much always put into winning Ulster, and it always felt like you belong, right? You belong at this level of playing in the All Ireland because you've won your province. You're the top team in your province, and you go on nearly having it earned the right to be here and to play there. You're in front of your home crowd here, which was, geez, I don't think we've seen a crowd like it in McCool Park. I haven't seen it as a spectator, I know, ever in my time. But the place was just hopping. The crowd was in there early. turnovers were cheered, big moments were cheered. It was just great to see. But I just, again, I keep going back to it. I just think that the confidence, and that played out to be the way, and now the confidence of winning here again today. You just go and you feel like you belong. And that was always probably something on the flip side when we didn't win Ulster and we were playing in the latter stages. We probably didn't feel that same level of kind of belonging. As a result, maybe seasons petered out. But this season, showing absolutely no signs of that. Petering out, if anything, it's an upward trajectory, you know.
I know you've had to sign about a million autographs. I won't keep you much longer. Just on that, yeah, because you won Ulster in 11, 12 and 14. You make a semi-final or better in those 3 years. When you didn't, you had a harder task, you had to get up, and we mentioned that word emotionally. What is that then? Is it an innate, organic thing? You can't even talk about it. It's just organic, is it?
It's just done it. I suppose we can only speak about it. It's probably easier to describe the one when you're winning. Once you've won, the one once you've lost. I don't think we want to chat about losing ones here today after that game, but the ones that you won, you feel you've earned it. You feel you've earned the right as such to compete, you know what I mean? It's not just that you're arriving down and hoping, you know, you've earned the right, like, and they have earned the right, like, such an Ulster title to win, you know, Derry, Tyrone, Armagh, you know, three counties that give us plenty of hurt as spectators and as even in the formative years of playing football, you know, so they were there, they give plenty of hurt, so they've earned that right massively, and they've earned it again today against the head, you know, in terms of, you know, teams thinking that, you know, they were going to come down here and pip Donegal and beat them. Just at the level and the fitness level, that's another thing today, like the condition of the lads in the space of 12 months to get up and down that field for 70 odd plus minutes and not trudge up and down it. Like, they're getting up and down that at serious speed.
Morgan in the 72nd minute.
yeah, there's speed, and then there's rapid speed. And that's rapid speed carrying the ball. So he's carrying the ball and he's kicking it on the run at that time. So, listen, exciting, really strong performance. They got off the field fair and quick. I would say they're probably eyeing that Cork game, knowing the turnaround, the logistics of having to travel down there and whatnot that comes with it. I would say they're turning their heads quickly towards that, you know.
That's the last point that maybe people tuning in that weren't in the game, and we've listeners from Australia to New York and all over. So the Donegal team sprinted today for the tunnel. You think that was a directive from management, lads? There's been a lot of hype, but they can't help that. The players, the management, you know all about that. Is it just, lads, we need to get focused for next week now?
Aye, like, it's not as if they don't want to share, geez, if anything. And I mean, after Ulster final and the homecoming and whatever, the lads and Jim and everybody, they're as absolute as gracious as anybody with time and signing. And they will do that, and they'll continue to do that.
Well, there's a great connection between the players. It's back, isn't it, Michael?
Aye, and listen, Jim, he gets it. Like, he gets the county, understands the county, understands the people, how it operates, how it works, how it moves, and kind of the feeling in the around the place. And they really, really tapped into that, and the players have tapped into that. And you know, it's incredible the extra bit that can give. But it was a matter of getting down there. Just think that the short term, this isn't just any other game. This is run, you know, travelling from one length of the country to the other. These lads are all going to be back at work all during next week. And, you know, for them to produce that physical output there today, every little second matters now for them to get in there, to get rubs, to get injuries, knocks assessed, so that they can get back to a bit of preparation again during the week ahead of Cork, because it's a brand new team again. It's a new style of play and it's a new bit of preparation again. So every second kind of counts, you know.
Promise, this is the last one. We hear the usual cliches. He gives you self-belief, he gives you confidence, he's organised in that. I asked this to Pater Morgan, though. Why is Jim McGuinness such a great manager? Like, what is it?
Listen, there's no magic formula. I don't believe he's a fantastic man. I keep thinking about it. I don't think we've not made enough about it, but the fact that he came back out to take the job, it tells you enough about the man and how much he gets the county, how much he loves the place, how much probably seeing the way Donegal have maybe just performed over the last 12 to 18 months, he wanted to do something about it. You can say there was other motivation, there wasn't, I know from speaking to him, that was it. So to me, that's the mark of him. And then, listen, he backs it up then, he's ultra prepared, he works hard, he gets the counties from Donegal, he understands it in that way, and you know, tactically so astute, you know, does his homework on everything on their own team, you know, he's honest, a great communicator, great personality, sense of humour. Just, there's no amount of words to say. In terms of going up in an estimation, he couldn't have gone up any further, but he has in terms of going to take the job, just putting his neck out in the line. He was obviously done so much for Donegal at underage level, as a player, as a senior manager, and then to come back again to want to do something about it again, it's just, I can't say enough in terms of what he's done for that. And you know, for Donegal people to experience packed houses and days like that today, what, 16,000 to 19,000 people here? I think they said 16,000, I would say there was closer to 19,000. Like, it just, it gives people talking points now for the next few weeks here in the county, and that's just what the buzz and the magic is, and Jim gets that, the players get that, and, you know, just long may continue, you know.
Well, you talk about Jim McGuinness loving Donegal, just, I think, on behalf of every Donegal supporter, I don't think, Michael Murphy, we can thank you enough, in my opinion, and most people's opinions, the greatest footballer to ever play for Donegal, and we owe you a great deal of gratitude.
On to the next group now. I'm here as supporter now, and on to the next lads, and they're creating their own stuff now, and I'm just delighted to be there along with them and enjoying watching it now, you know.
Michael Murphy, thank you so much for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Bye-bye.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town, suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs, and sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.